Okay, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Devarim. We start Sefer Devarim this week. And as everybody knows, this Shabbos has a special title. It's called Shabbos Chazon. And the reason it's called Shabbos Chazon is because it's patterned after, it gets its title from the Haftorah. The Haftorah from this week is the opening parak of Sefer Yeshaya, Chazon Yeshaya ben Amotz. And I'd like to ask a very simple question. It's very nice that Torah begins with the word Chazon. Why is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av? This year it happens to be the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos this year. Why is that Shabbos called Shabbos Chazon? Just because the Torah begins with the word Chazon, that's why we call it Shabbos Chazon. And what exactly are we supposed to try to see, if you will? The word Chazon means to see. What exactly are we supposed to see on this Shabbos, be focused on?
You're supposed to see that, like, this is the Shabbos that, like, that the world, like, came true.
Okay, so, we'll come. Very good, hold on. So, I want to share with you a very nice question, which I saw very recently, which I think is a very, very nice question. We know that we're now in the period of 10 weeks. 10 weeks? Yeah. There are 3 weeks which are called Bein HaMitzarim, the 3 weeks. Those are called by Chazal the 3 weeks of Puranus, the 3 weeks of trouble, of difficult times. And then there are 7 weeks afterwards called Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of Nechama. If I were to ask you, which Navi should we read from this Shabbos or during the 3 weeks, and which Navi should we read from for the 7 weeks? So you'd obviously tell me that the Navi, who is the Navi of Churban, is Navi of Yirmiyahu. And that's why last week we read from Yirmiyahu. And the week before we read from Yirmiyahu. And this Shabbos, which is Shabbos Chazon, we read from Yeshaya HaNavi. Anyone that knows a little bit about Yeshaya HaNavi knows that he is the Navi of Nechama, of consolation. The famous words, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Omar Elokechem, which we're please God going to lay next Shabbos, come from Yeshaya. All the beautiful nevuos about what's going to be one day with Klal Yisrael, about the restoration of Yerushalayim, of the Mikdash, they all come from Yeshaya HaNavi. So what's going on this Shabbos, Rabbi Osai, that Shabbos Chazon, we call upon Yeshaya HaNavi and not Yirmiyahu HaNavi? We should have gone to Yirmiyahu. That was the natural place to go for the Puranas. I saw that question from a very nice sefer called Ilah Advarim from Rav Schlesinger. He was the rabbi, current rabbi of the city of Gilo, the community of Gilo in Yerushalayim. Very nice question. And he has the following very nice answer I'd like to develop with you today. He says beautifully, he says, as Tisha B'Av approaches, Chazon is always the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. As Tisha B'Av approaches, we have to understand the following thing. The mourning that we're about to do, the mourning that we're about to experience, is not the end goal. That is part of the process that's going to bring us to the end goal. And our job, our mission, Abosa, is to be able to use the experience of the Avelos, the mourning that we have on Tisha B'Av, and already within that, see the Nechama coming. Already within the mourning, within the difficulty, to be able to see the Nechama. That's why he suggests we learn from Yeshaya. Because already we're sniffing out this week, we're sniffing out when we hear Chazon Yeshaya ben Amotz, we're already looking forward, we're already able within the difficulty to see the Nechama, the unbelievable consolation that will come. So we call upon Yeshaya HaNavi, the Navi of Nechama, and we learn from him because we realize that all of this is just part of the process. It's the tunnel, which at the end of this long tunnel, there's going to be a tremendous, tremendous light that we're all going to experience at the end of the tunnel. And he brings some beautiful ideas that I wanted to share with you to highlight this point. One of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, probably the most famous Gemara that's done before Ahavjan, is the Gemara of Makos, famous Gemara of Akiva. And other Tanan were walking and they're overlooking Harabayas and they see foxes coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And all the Tanoim with Rabbi Akiva start to cry. And Rabbi Akiva starts to laugh. And they say to him, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And he says to them, why are you crying? Why are we crying? Because the holiest place in the world, where it says about that place that a person who's a foreigner, a non-Kohen comes there, will die. And now a fox is coming out. I'm not going to cry. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's why I'm laughing. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Because there's two nevuahs that are contradictory. One says, Tzion Sadat Echarash. One is by Uriah. One is by Zechariah. One says that Tzion is going to be destroyed. The other one says, Od Yishvu Zekenu 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 Shalayim. And there's going to come a time, which hopefully we're experiencing in our day, where old men and women are going to walk with canes in the streets of Yerushalayim. What's going on? Is Tzion going to be plowed? Is Yerushalayim going to be destroyed? Or is it going to be a place where old people walk and enjoy the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim? Says Rabbi Akiva, until I saw the first Nevuah come true, until I saw the Nevuah that Tzion is going to be plowed, I was worried maybe the second Nevuah is not going to come true. But now that I see in front of my eyes a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I realize, you know what? Just as this Nevuah is coming true, I also can see right now the other Nevuah coming true. And therefore they said to him, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu, you comforted us. Because you can see already in the Churban, in the destruction, you can see already the trinnings and the first buds, if you will, the budding of the Geula. He quotes a beautiful idea, so simple, so beautiful. At the very end of Kinos, on Sunday, if we have to say Kinos, we're going to sing together. And some people actually have the minute to sing L'chadodi, the Shabbos, that tune. Eli Tzion V'Arel. Eli Tzion V'Arel. Everyone knows it. We're going to sing that song. What does that mean? What are the words? Wail! Eli means to wail. Wail, O Tzion V'Arel. Then it says, Kimo Isha, like a woman, B'Tzireha. What's Tzireha? In her labor pangs. In her labor pains. What's the mashal of a woman in her labor pains? Lots been said about this. He says it's spoken so beautifully. He said, think about this, and I can tell you from experience from my wife, not from my own experience. I was never pregnant. Not yet. But my wife, and I've seen this many times, Baruch Hashem, labor, forget labor, before labor, there's the pregnancy. Now there's different levels of uncomfort and discomfort that exists during pregnancy. Some women have very, very hard time. I have one of my neighbors, when she's pregnant, she has been pregnant in the past, she mamish can't get out of bed for like the first 14 weeks. She needs to be on IV. And they have more than one child. I don't want to tell you how many they have, it's not important. They have more than one child. What's shot? Why does she torture herself every time? Because it's worth it. Why is it worth it? Because at the end of all this difficulty comes life. Comes a cute little baby that's born, and therefore people will travel across the world to the best doctors and pay millions of dollars just to have a child. Aye, but it's so painful. Aye, you can go through the most difficult treatments in the world. But the answer is, it's worth it, because in the difficulty, in the labor, in the most difficult times already, we can see the first light of the Geula, of the redemption that's going to come. I want to share with you a beautiful part of a story that I read. I highly recommend you read this book. It was written first in Hebrew, then it was translated to English. It's called Out of the Depths, written by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, who was the former chief rabbi of Israel, and now his son, Rabbi David Lau, is the current chief rabbi. I heard he's coming tonight, the son. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau is an amazing person, an unusual person. He comes from a chain of a rabbinic dynasty, rabbinic family, from the 1800s, many generations. His father, listen carefully, was the Rav in Pietrzykow, in Poland, before the war. Pietrzykow. His father was Rav, a very, very respected Rav in the community. And his father realized that soon his life was going to be taken with the rest of his community. So he hid his wife and sons in hiding, hoping that they would survive. Unfortunately, his wife also, he was killed in the war, his wife was killed in the war. But he had two sons that survived the war. One's name was Naftali, who passed away just in the last year, if I'm not mistaken, Naftali. Another one, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. They had nicknames. One was called Tulik. Naphtali was called Tulik, and Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau was called Lulik. Srili became Lulik. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau was very young during the war. His older brother, Naphtali Lau, was a teenager during the war. Listen to very carefully. The parting words of the father to his son, the parting words of Lau's father to Naphtali were the following. Listen, my dear son Naphtali, Tulik. I want you to take care of Lulik. Whatever you do during the war, whatever you do during these times, take care of him. Do whatever you can. And this is what he said to him. He said, when you get out of this Gehenna, hopefully you get out of this Gehenna, I want you always to remember there's a place called Eretz Yisrael. I want you to remember there's a place that's our land, that's our place called Eretz Yisrael, and Be'ez Hashem, you're going to go there, and you're going to, please God, continue our dynasty, our rabbinic dynasty there in Eretz Yisrael. I can't go into the details, but Tulik, Naphtali, literally risked his life many times in the war to save his brother. One time he was on the front of a cattle car, a few boxes in front. They came to a stop, and he climbed out of the cattle car under the train tracks, got his brother from a cattle car way back, and brought him to his cattle car to save his life. Mamish risked his life unbelievable way to fulfill his father's request to save his brother's life, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. He became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael for many, many years, of Tel Aviv. Now Tel Aviv of Eretz Yisrael for many years. An incredible story. What I want to bring out from the story is it's Mamash this idea. It's the idea that in the middle of the Churban, think about this, think about Yisrael Lau's father. In the middle of Gehenna, in the middle of literally his last words on this earth are, not Churban, not destruction. His last words in this world are Nechama. His last words in this world are, there's going to be a Geula. His last words in this world are, there's going to come a time where we're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. There's going to come a time when, please God, you're going to set up and continue our rabbinic dynasty. Just think about the unbelievable thing. He was a chief rabbi. His son is young. He's 50 years old. He's the current chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. It's almost unconscionable. Rabosai, Shabbos Chazon gets its name, Shabbos Chazon, because of the vision that we're supposed to have. As Jews, we're supposed to have vision that's beyond the difficulty that we see over here. We're supposed to have vision that even though there's Churban, and we experience Churban, we see Binyan, we see building. This past week, on Tuesday, I went with Mechlelet to Hebron. And we passed by the intersection, the exact spot where last year the three teenage boys, Naphtali, Gilad, and Ayal, were kidnapped and murdered. And I pointed out to the girls, that's exactly where the place where they were standing. Mamish, we saw it, we drove right by it, that's where they were standing, that's where they were murdered. And then someone else pointed out something amazing to me. One of the tour guides from Chala said, you know, and by the way, look behind that place, look behind that trampiata, that tramping station. I look behind, see a sign. What's the sign? The sign says they're building a community. A community they're building right over there in the memory of Gilad, Naphtali, and Ayal, Hashem Yikom Damam. They're building a community. They're building Eretz Yisrael where they were killed. That's the Jewish mindset. That's the Chazon. Chazon is that we don't stop and say, oh, it's Churban. We don't say, ah, it's just destruction. Yeshaya HaNavi, who is the prophet of Nechama, comes, and we read from him this Shabbos to remind ourselves that this whole gullus, this whole difficulty, this whole challenging time that we're going through is part of a process. It's to get us to a goal. It's to get us somewhere. It's to get us to a point, please God, to an incredible geula. As the expression goes, the best is yet to come. We should be zocha, please God, to use this Shabbos and to be able to work on our vision. Not to have limited vision and only see what's in front of our eyes right now, but to learn from the great people of our generations, to learn from Rabbi Akiva, to learn from the special kina we say on Tisha B'Av, Eli Tzion Vareha, to learn that we're like a woman in labor who's able to go through whatever she has to endure because she knows at the end of it, it's worth it, it's going to be worth it. We should be zocha, please God, to learn how to see, to learn how to be people that are chozin, that are see properly, and please God, we should be zocha to really, really see the Sechazena Inena B'Shulchan Tzion Baracha, and we should zochet to see the ultimate Geula B'Mehirah B'Yameinu. Amen.
Amen.